Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists create connectivity solutions that change the way we work, live, and play. Like Kunle, a Comcast engineer who is focused on revolutionizing the in-home Wi-Fi experience today and for the next generation. Kunle builds powerful Xfinity Wi-Fi devices that deliver a fast, reliable connection with capacity to connect hundreds of high-bandwidth devices at once and next-level latency for the applications of the future, like augmented and virtual reality and cloud gaming. Learn more at comcastcorporation.com/Wi-Fi.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Danny McConnell is with me, editor with the Sunday Business Post. So, Daniel, we got the Dáil back up and running today.
Yeah.
Any bun fights?
They were on their best behaviour, it looks like. I mean, obviously, I think since the County Court came out with a ruling late on Sunday night or Monday night, it was pretty clear that the heat was sort of out of the speaking rights issue. I think the only remaining issue to be addressed was whether or not Michael O'Leary would go along with it or not. He sort of clarified his position to say that he accepted the ruling, albeit probably not very graciously. I think there's a bit of contention there. The idea of that you would be in government and also try and have opposition speaking rights was clearly an argument that the government has lost. It hasn't held water, notwithstanding the fact that Fianna Fáil published its own or leaked its own legal advice from Michael Cush, the senior counsel, who said it was permissible under law. So, I think what this is now, an opportunity, I think, for a new set of standing orders to come in and end this, or give that group led by Michael O'Leary time, whether it be in government time or if there are some other mechanism to allow him, fulfil his mandate. He has a mandate to be in Dáil Éireann as much as anybody else, but I just don't think it was ever a runner that they were going to be given opposition speaking time.
But, the nature of legal advice is that it can be contentious. It's why we have trials.
Yeah.
If it was all kind of ad idem, we wouldn't need them in the first place. There kind of had been some speculation maybe that we might end up at that point, that someone would take a kind of a legal challenge to the decision. Michael O'Leary seems to have rode back short of that. Is that kind of for the moment, or is that completely off the table?
Again, I think, and the minister might clarify this in due course, but I would think now there's an opportunity, as I said, for the Dáil to get a new set of rules, because ultimately they vote on their own rules and they set their own rules. But ultimately, if there isn't a resolution that's satisfactory, the only place it can really then be resolved is the courts. We know that there's already a number of legal actions about the actions of this government in the High Court, and we know that Paul Murphy is looking to take an injunction, and we know that Pat Daly of Sinn Féin has lodged a case about the number of super junior ministers, etc. like that. So ultimately, I would think that if that reform group and committee can ultimately get to a point where they can agree a set of standing orders that is to the satisfaction of everybody, then I think a court action could be avoided. But given the amount of heat, time, energy that's been wasted on this issue, it's certainly not something that can be fully ruled out as of now.
Neil Richmond is with us in studio, Minister of State at the Department of Foreign Affairs. Minister, might we end up at that point?
I certainly don't. I hope we don't. And I don't think we need to. I think Danny's right. The Dáil Reform Committee has been set up to look at this very thing. And the nature of standing orders in any organisation is they are a living body. They're reflective of their time. And the makeup of the government that we have at the moment is unprecedented. It may not look that different to many governments that went before, but it's the first time we've had a government of this exact nature. We've had governments that have had independent members who were served as ministers, of course, led by Enda Kenny, the last one that I remember. But there was also one where there was independence that backed it from outside government. And even the era of technical groups only came about in the 90s. So the Dáil is always evolving and the standing orders need to evolve with it. And this isn't a matter for the government. It's a matter for the Dáil itself. The Dáil is supreme here. The Cairn Comhairle has the final word. The nature of legal advice is it's always up for interpretation. But I very, very much hope that the Dáil Reform Committee can, in the spirit of getting a working parliament that the people deserve, make sure that the scenes that we saw a fortnight ago are never repeated. And look, I'll take whatever responsibility I need to take as a government minister in that. Mm. I'm not going to say it's all someone else's fault, because I think we need to be in a space that we have a lot of very, very serious issues to talk about domestically, internationally. We need a working Dáil. I'm very grateful that we are down to relative normality today in our business. And I very much look forward to taking oral parliamentary questions in my new brief next Tuesday evening, bringing forward legislation that we can fulfil the very clear aims that we have promised in the programme for government.
So, Danny, then, to the important issues, as the minister puts it, that we need to talk about. What was first and foremost kind of top of that list today in the Dáil?
Well,
what's emerging as first
political issue of contention? Mary Lou McDonald and Ivana Bacic hammered the government on, and Kieran Callaghan, I should say, of the Social Democrats, and follow-up questions. But they, you know, the idea that the government had gone out and trumpeted the fact that we were going to deliver 40,000 houses last year, and obviously the official numbers after coming through are now actually below 30,000, so they're well below. Essentially, the opposition accusing the government of trying something on and misleading the public going into a general election. Micheál Martin gave what would be seen as a pretty wishy-washy response, saying we relied on sort of external bodies such as Deutsche Bank and elsewhere to give us, who were forecasting delivery of 40,000 houses. Kieran O'Callaghan making the point, well, hang on, do you not have your own state bodies like the CSO to give you accurate data? Why are you relying on these forecasts or, you know, potential deliverables, you know, being forecasted by these external bodies? So less than convincing. I mean, obviously he had to acknowledge the disappointment, but then sort of put it back on the opposition, saying, well, where are your plans? But I mean, it doesn't really wash when you're in government. It was your housing for all strategy, your housing for all problem. The one interesting point I did hear him say, and this is something I'd like to hear more of, is he said we need to acknowledge the role of the private sector in delivering, because the state can't do it all. The state can't be solely responsible for the delivery of the amount of houses that we needed. For far too long, in my view, we've had this demonisation of builders. We have this demonisation of people who we need essentially to build, and institutional funds which are needed, for right or for wrong, to deliver the sort of scale and volume of houses that we need in this country.
We're going to be talking later this hour, Minister, about kind of adult children living at home and whether they should be charged rent or how much rent you could be charging them. And I'd wager any of those people listening, they don't really care about kind of Dáil standing orders and speaking rights and all of that. Not that it's not important, but that's not first and foremost kind of the issue they're dealing with. It's putting a roof over their head. And again, they might ask the same question that was asked of Micheál Martin today. You know, surely it's the likes of Deutsche Bank who should be going to the government asking these questions, not the government going to Deutsche Bank to find out how many houses are being built in the country or likely to be built. And the fact that we're so far behind targets last year compared to what we were told we were going to do right up through the election cycle in November doesn't bode well for 2025 either.
Well, I think it's just important to provide exact clarity. Our target last year, which was missed, acknowledge it, no one's more disappointed than me, was 33,000. We built in the region of 30,000. The previous 3 years combined, we've actually gone past the targets every year by over 5,000. Is that good enough? No. And no one in the government is saying that. But we do see commencements for last year, actually 60,000. 60,000 homes have commenced building last year. And that is a CSO statistic. And that is really important.
We have to be kind of very crystal clear about these kind of targets that you say you kind of just shy of missing. It was 33,000 was the target and we got to 30,000. Everybody, including the Minister for Housing, acknowledged that those housing targets were too low and they were going to be revised upwards. So a target that was already too low, we didn't hit. Well, that doesn't even take into account the point raised by Danny and others in the Dáil today about the fact that you and your government colleagues were trumpeting being above that target right through the election cycle.
Well, the housing targets have been revised upwards, and rightly so. But I think the key thing, and you rightly say, the people who are listening at home, not just or on the car or on the way from work, not just those who are living in the box room, but the parents of those who are living in the box room, who I met up and down my constituency and around the country, want to know, well, what the actual plan is. And this is what the government has been quite clear. And I think we're right to call out the opposition. Opposition can criticise and hammer the government, and they should. But the government can rightly in turn say, well, what is your plan? And a mass nationalisation, the likes of some opposition parties, isn't going to deliver more homes. But we've been quite clear on foot of the planning bill that only passed all stages in the Dáil in October, on foot in the increased level of funding, a record level of funding, a record level of actual building of social and affordable homes. We have a very clear plan that will realistically escalate the amount of homes being built across the country, homes that people can afford to buy, homes that are cost rental, homes that are built by the private sector and that go into the social system. And I think you're right, Danny. We do need to say that the private sector has a really important part to play. And I have no problem saying that. I've never for once said anything different. We need to see home built to rent. We need to see built to buy. We need to see everything. Because at the end of the day, if you are one of those people who are looking to book a flight to Oz, you're 24, you're 25, you're looking at rents, you're looking at home, you just want to see them built. And I drove through my constituency this morning and all I can see around Kiltearnan, around Carrick Mines is building sites active, and the vast majority of homes that are in the ground will be delivered this calendar year for people to move into.
Are we going to hit the targets then for this year?
we're very early in the year. We've just hit February, but I think we're on course. And I'm really, really heartened that the commencement numbers, again, commencement CSO, the actual amount of home building that has begun over the last 12 months is ahead of target. And that's really important. The more homes you have being built in the ground, the more people you have building of all manner, the more homes you'll deliver.
The commencement notices are ahead of what the commencement notice target was, or it's ahead of what the housing target was for that period?
It's ahead of what the commencement notice target.
Danny, to what extent might the Occupied Territories Bill become something of a kind of a sticking point for?
Yeah, I mean, I think the election was barely over when we had Micheál Martin come out and basically say, listen, the bill that we have all promised to deliver,
we're rewriting it all.
We have to rewrite it. I mean, it's very clear. Ireland is under massive pressure internationally over this bill. Our whole stance around Israel has garnered a lot of international attention. For right or for wrong, it, you know, has put us in the firing line of a lot of US corporates who obviously, you know, take a very strong or have traditionally taken a very conservative pro-Israel line. Obviously, people have lobbied government very carefully and very assiduously between the election and kind of the turn of the year. Because all that talk of watering it down, slowing it down, rewriting it is tantamount to basically saying, listen, it's not palatable. There's obviously been question marks over its legality, whether or not it's actually applicable, whether it's compliant with EU law. And ultimately, I suppose, what you're seeing now is the government trying to put the brakes and slow it down and take some of the political heat. Because for what it's intended to achieve, the risk is, from an Irish government perspective, that we end up paying an excessive or disproportionate political price, not only in terms of our trade links and our inward foreign direct investment, but even our political standing with other countries who have basically looked at Ireland with some shock and some, you know, being aghast somehow in terms of how strong the utterances from the Taoiseach in particular have been in relation to Israel's actions in Gaza. Not for one second defending what Israel has done, but there are consequences for what Ireland is doing and how the rhetoric coming from Dublin, because it is resonating across capital cities internationally, and ultimately there could very well be a price to pay for it.
Why do we have to rewrite so much of the bill, Minister?
Well, the bill, as originally initiated by Senator Francis Black in 2018, for a long time was clearly in breach of EU and international law, and we stated it as such. However, things changed with the ruling of the International Criminal Court of Justice, the ICJ, in July, and on foot of that, the then Taoiseach, Simon Harris, asked the Attorney General to revisit the legal advice. And as such, due to the ICJ ruling, the Attorney General said back in autumn to the government that there is a path to pass a bill in this regard. However, and our position actually hasn't changed in this in any regard, it requires massive amendments, because it's all well and good doing something or producing something or saying something for the place of making a point. And I don't disagree with anything that Senator Francis Black is trying to achieve. In fact, I agree wholeheartedly with it. But we as a government believe this has to be legal. We believe in the international rule of law. Trade obviously is an EU competence. People make the comparison with sanctions against apartheid that happened before the EU came into existence. Equally, we have to make sure that this is enforceable and it's a climate and it's not just a statement piece of legislation. So we have a private members bill tonight in the name of Sinn Féin that I'll be speaking on, and it just wants to ram this through. But if we ram it through, as it is formulated, as it is crafted, it will collapse in the eyes of international law. So we'll be making a really strong statement, but without actually having anything binding. But what we have said consistently since the autumn, and we've sat down with Senator Francis Black, the actual author of the bill, not the other opposition party, Senator Black, who was re-elected over the weekend to the Senate, a good friend of mine, and we've said, there's a pathway to do this, will you go along with us? And she said yes. She sat down with Micheál Martin when he was in Taoiseach, when he was in Foreign Affairs, and she played a constructive part, and she accepts that very major amendments need to be enacted. We are literally in the first effective day of the Dáil, and we have a private members bill demanding it just gets passed now, regardless of, never mind the political consequences, which Danny's very right on, but whether or not this actually has a legal basis.
What's the government's position with regards to Donald Trump's suggestion of ethnically cleansing the Gaza Strip?
Well, I think the comments from President Trump last night were certainly...
That is ethnic cleansing, isn't it, as you'd understand it? Forcibly removing one kind of ethnic or religious group from their territory.
I don't have any definitions in front of me, so I think that's one that's a bit tough to be put to me, to be quite frank, Kieran, but I understand why you're making that point. And a lot of people have made that today. And
I make it because had you said it last week, you would have been accused of being a rampant anti-Semite. And Donald Trump yesterday suggested the Gaza Strip be ethnically cleansed, and now he's being cheered along by the Israeli government.
Well, it was interesting, actually, in listening back, President or Prime Minister Netanyahu never actually endorsed the comments of President Trump. But what we have said consistently is that when it comes to the situation in the Middle East, in fairness to the US, they are a co-guarantor, for want of an Irish term, of the existing very fragile peace agreement. And we commend the work they've done on that. And what the Irish government has been quite clear, like, as is the accepted international norm, is we want to see a two-state solution. Most importantly, we want to see the very fragile peace upheld. We want America to play their part in that. We want Egypt, Qatar, Lebanon, Jordan, other neighbouring countries that are playing to that, particularly Israel, as well as those Palestinian territories. And we will continue to work with that. When it comes to the comments by President Trump, we have to be careful about the difference between what is said, and we've seen this in relation to tariffs as well, and what is actually acted upon. So we wait on actions, but certainly in terms of the position of the US administration, it was the tonish to Simon Harris who called for the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, to attend the next meeting of the EU Foreign Affairs Council. We're looking for an EU-US summit, and we want to have those level discussions, because what's paramount for the Irish government is we see peace in the Middle East, we see an end to the bombing, we see an end to the absolute horrific killing of women and children and everyone else, innocent civilians throughout the region. And we want to see it that not only ended now, but maintained.
Minister of State at the Department of Foreign Affairs, Responsibility for International Development of the Diaspora, Neil Richmond. Thank you. Daniel McConnell, editor at the Sunday Business Post. Daniel, thanks as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists create connectivity solutions that change the way we work, live, and play. Like Kunle, a Comcast engineer who is focused on revolutionizing the in-home Wi-Fi experience today and for the next generation. Kunle builds powerful Xfinity Wi-Fi devices that deliver a fast, reliable connection with capacity to connect hundreds of high-bandwidth devices at once, and next-level latency for the applications of the future, like augmented and virtual reality and cloud gaming. Learn more at ComcastCorporation.com/Wi-Fi.